Today, we begin a series of conversations about the future of America's cities, starting in the state of Florida with Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, a 38-year-old former sports reporter, activist, microbrewery owner, and dad, who decided there's no greater calling than giving back to the city he loves. From Ballard Studios, it's 13th and Park.
The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
We will make America strong again. We will get through this together.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Mayor, welcome to the show. And to my partner, Dan McFall's first appearance as a co-host on 13th and Park.
Yeah, I was saying I like to be in Washington, D.C., a city of history, and I'm here for another historic moment, Dan McFall's debut. But I'm glad to be here. This is awesome.
We're honored to have you up here. And I got to ask, you and I have similar backgrounds. We both went to St. Paul's School in Pensacola, grew up in the community. What does it feel like the day after the election? What did it feel like as a 38-year-old to become a mayor? You know, you're the youngest mayor in 100 years in the city of Pensacola. You know, Pensacola is the cradle of naval aviation, the home base of the Blue Angels, thousands of military men and women there, most beautiful beaches in all of Florida, I'll say it right here, that Pensacola has. What was it like? What was the feeling that you had?
Yeah, of course, it's the surreal moment that we all have when we accomplish a dream in our life. And really, my 8-year-old daughter is going to grow up in Pensacola, and I want her to move home when she's 22. I mean, I'm not doing this for any other reason than I think Pensacola is such an amazing place, and it's done so much for me, and we have so much promise. You know, so I wanted to make sure that we do our best and that we're working hard every day to fulfill that. And I'm used to a long day, you know, as an entrepreneur, moonlighting as a brewery owner while I was Quint Studer's chief of staff. And so long days and high workloads are something I'm used to. But absolutely, you know, when you become the mayor of your hometown, you know, there's a lot of surreal moments.
So you are the youngest mayor of Pensacola in 101 years. I had to look that. I think that's a trivia question.
Yeah.
Who the former mayor was 101 years ago, which really begs the question, why you decided to run for mayor when you did? And what was your motivation? I mean, your father, Jim, was in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. Your mom, social worker, also was working with Quint Studer at some point. I remember reading in some article, Mayor, that there would be public meetings where you're in the back of the room and you're growing up playing on your Game Boy.
Yep.
So what was it that was maybe the spark to get you to do what you've now done?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'll have kids in high school, you know, stop me and say, man, that's amazing. You're now the mayor. Like, tell me how you got there. Did you major in political science? And I always tell them, I said, no, really the opposite of that. At every moment in my life, you know, I followed something I was passionate about and played sports growing up. And then I figured out at 16 years old, when I was punching stats into a green screen computer at the News Journal, that, you know, wait, I can get paid to watch football for a living. Like, this is amazing. And same thing when Quint Studer called in 2015, I was covering the University of Alabama for the Tuscaloosa News and, you know, said, hey, I want you to come help me with some of these projects. And, you know, I kind of said, well, if I don't move back now, I probably never will.
Now, of course, you just mentioned covering the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
You're a Florida State University grad.
Yep.
Covering Alabama football. I'm trying to get my arms around that.
Well, and even worse, I was covering Florida State professionally. So, I mean, I was the editor of the FSU newspaper and all that in school, moved home to work at the Pensacola News Journal for 4 years, and then moved back to work at warchant.com. Any FSU fans listening knows it's the, you know, the largest website. So then I left Warchant to go to Alabama. And what I tell everybody is it really came down to these. I have these three interactions with our community, completely independent, that put me in a position to run. And one, of course, was growing up in politics, my dad, Jim Reeves. The second was with Quint Studer, of course, and, you know, he's our largest private investor. And really the last group was the sports writing part. I know every high school basketball coach, football coach in this town, and, you know, every kid who's 25 or 26 years old, I get stopped still. And they're like, hey, were you the guy that was writing high school football for the News Journal? So just by organic happenstance. I just had these three interactions with the community, all very different, that when it came down to asking for votes, you know, they either knew me as the brewery guy, you know, Jim's kid, Quint's chief of staff, or the guy that used to cover football. And so that covered a lot of ground for us, you know, when we were out knocking doors.
Your father, Jim, is certainly a legend in Northwest Florida politics. And when you're breaking into politics in the Panhandle, at least when I was coming into it, you kind of had to get your hazing from Jim.
Yeah,
that was part of your transforming from a neophyte to a professional in the political world.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah, I also had to get the same treatment. You know, Dad's famous line is, you know, I'll be for you or against you, whatever does you the most good. So.
D.C. Reeves, he got more than 50% of the vote. That means that this will not go to a runoff, and he will become Pensacola's next mayor.
Well, I was a little optimistic is the word I would use, but obviously super exciting. We worked so hard, and I say we as in this whole team.
As you see it, what are some of the biggest challenges that Pensacola and some of the other American cities face today? And then I also want to talk about your view on economic development. A lot of the economic development guys that I work for, they're hunting elephants, right? They go out with their guns and they want to shoot the biggest elephant, and either they bring home this Fortune 50 company or they get nothing.
Right.
And most of the time they get nothing.
Right.
And I think you have a more organic, more entrepreneurial, more small business approach to economic development. So let's talk about both of those things in your own words.
Yeah. So I think right now, you know, we ran on obviously public safety, attainable housing, and job creation, which is really the third one is what you were discussing in detail as well. And I would say topically, like as we sit here today, finding answers for attainable housing and to be able to move it at scale, there's a lot of little efforts out there, but it's not keeping up with what the need is. And so I keep it in perspective. It's a good problem to have. We are not unique. You guys know that. We're hearing about affordable housing issues everywhere, but we are a city in demand, and that's not a guarantee. You know, and so when I say Pensacola has a lot of promise, there's other cities in this country that would love to have the problem that we have, which is that a lot of people want to move here. And that's really why I take a different tact in economic development. And here's what I mean. There's two stats that just always stick with me is that, number one, still about half of the white collar jobs in the United States are remote. So you can pick where you want to live. We've never had a greater ability to live wherever we want in our society than we do today. That's just a societal thing happening in our world that lands right in our lap in Pensacola, I believe. And the second thing is there are two generations in the workforce right now, younger. I'm 38, that are younger than me. And those are the first two in the history of the United States that will choose a city and then find a job. Everybody else, I would have taken my first sports writer job on the tundra of Canada. That's what you did. You know, you went to, or in the middle of Idaho, whatever. I would have just done that. You worked your way up the totem pole and then you cover our FSU or Alabama or whatever. Now, people are like, look, I'll bartend at Perfect Plane and make $80,000 a year. And when my marine biology job pops in Tampa or in Pensacola or Atlanta, that's where I'll go. What that means for me is I'm a placemaking economic development person. And what I mean is you just build a great place to live and you tell the story of our city and why it's a great place to live. And that means investments in bikeability, walkability, obviously public safety, our public spaces and making sure that they look beautiful. You know, I kind of jokingly call it the Charleston Savannah model, you know, is that it became a cool place to live. What happens? All this young talent moves there. And then businesses, instead of chasing one, now businesses are like, well, dang, why aren't we in Pensacola? They've got 250 cybersecurity people ready to hire. And so that's the way I like taking on this battle is we take it from building a sense of place, and then we let society as it sits today really be the catalyst of where Pensacola goes from here.
I think summing up what you just said, one of your predecessors, Vince Wibbs Sr., used to say, welcome to Pensacola, the Western Gate to the Sunshine State, where thousands live like millions wish they could.
Yep.
So, and I think that sums up Pensacola quite nicely.
Yeah. And again, we haven't had a population increase until the last few years. I mean, we've been pretty much stagnant, about 55,000. So I actually take a compliment at this illusion that you'd think we doubled in population in the last 3 years. But I think that's great. That's a symbol of where we're going. The fact that we're being discovered, we're on every top 10 list in Florida and best place to retire in the United States. Like, those are the things you want to be on, and it's part of building place. And so where there's smoke, there's fire. And if people think we're doubling in population these last couple of years, I think that's probably a good symbol of our momentum.
It's very interesting, Mayor, that you say that people are now choosing a city than finding a job. But one of the things that you campaigned on and is very much a top priority of yours is finding places to live for some of our best, our first responders, yep. our nurses, our teachers. What kinds of things as mayor are you looking at to allow for that? So you don't have these, what I think are everyday heroes, having to commute long distances just to do the very thing that makes them special.
Yeah, I used to say all the time that my daughter's in third grade at a public school in Pensacola, and that it saddens me to think that her teacher can't afford to live in the city of which she teaches, you know, and can't afford the rent. So here's what we're really looking at, I'll say really in the last couple of weeks, is we've taken a focus, I believe it's House Bill 1339 in Florida that came about in the last couple of years that actually allows municipalities to upzone property they have if they're using it for attainable housing. So we're going to start thinking outside the box on, again, building one house at a time. And that's something Pensacola has been doing, you know, but that it's a pebble in the pond, you know, and even though that's going to be great for that one family and that's one's better than nothing, we've got to figure out a way to attack this at scale. And so how do we house first responders? One, we get intentional about how we can leverage the property that we have. And then secondly, this is an education piece. And I think not only for Pensacolians, but for other communities is I keep saying you have to understand it's not one or the other in affordable housing. It's not either luxury housing or affordable housing. We have to get rid of this notion that you're only working on one at a time. And I jokingly say, you know, you can pat your head and rub your belly at the same time in this issue, which is, do we want higher end housing that's paying enormous taxes that up our tax base so we can go attack the attainable housing problem? Absolutely. We just had a deal in Pensacola where they said, well, you know, we'll build you 10% of our building as attainable. It's going to cost you $4 million of taxes over 10 years. Well, that's not a good deal for us. I would rather have that $4 million and let us go figure out, you know, how to do it. And so, you know, sometimes because it's such a hot button issue, it becomes territorial that if you build a higher end condo, 500 units in your city that are market rate, that means you don't care about attainable housing. And so I say all that to say it's a holistic approach. I mean, it truly, we've got to be intentional about some of our efforts and we are going to do that. But also we have to realize that building our tax base allows us to go do the things that we want to do and not be pinching pennies when it's time to try to solve a problem.
Speaking a little bit about jewels of Pensacola, Quint Studer and his wife, Richie, have been godsends in a lot of ways to particularly downtown Pensacola. And to be fair, full disclosure, my wife's first job out of college was she worked for the Pelicans, the pro minor league team that preceded, I guess, the Blue Wahoos. Here's this couple from Wisconsin that comes to Pensacola and makes it their home. And unlike most of the city fathers, instead of having just discussions and paying lip service to, oh, we wish we had this, we should do that, and let's spend this money, and let's it, Quint actually put his money where his mouth was. And he, I know that at least the Pelicans did not make money, lost money.
Right.
You know, bringing baseball to downtown, building that stadium on the waterfront across the street from a wastewater treatment facility was a huge risk and a bet on Pensacola. But time and time again, we've seen Quint do that, invest money in downtown Pensacola, and 9 times out of 10, it's paid off, and it's been a win-win all the way around. You were his chief of staff. How has that influence on giving back to his community affected your views on public service?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, really in a couple key ways. One is I wouldn't have been the entrepreneur that I was without getting to follow him around and listen to him talk to, you know, every C-suite executive at every hospital system, you know, that you've ever heard of. If I had started a brewery before I met Quint, it would not have been as successful. And you think about the things, you know, surviving COVID with multiple locations and all of that and keeping all of our staff, not laying anybody off during that whole process. The second thing is, you know, every time I get interviewed about Quint and they ask me, you know, what is it? I mean, he's not from Pensacola. Why is he the largest private investor in the city? And I say, all you have to do with Quint is has built his business, has built his wealth, built his life, including his own personal life, around taking something that isn't working and making it work. So my joke always with Quint is to say, don't ever say Pensacola has made it, you know, because he's going to go to like the next town and like figure out, you know. So I'm always sure to just point out a couple problems with Pensacola every time I talk to Quint, jokingly, because, you know, that truly it's that spirit of why he's here. He owes Pensacola nothing in terms of he was the president of Baptist Hospital. That's how he got here. And then he started his consulting business here, but he has no family tie here, previous to that, no personal tie. So we're just very, very fortunate to have someone that likes reclamation projects. And certainly from 20 years ago, that's what it was. I mean, we rolled up the sidewalks at night downtown, and because of him, we don't anymore.
Well, I know firsthand experience that Speaker Paul Ryan gave him a full court press and tried to recruit him back to Janesville, Wisconsin, just to do some of the things that he's done in Pensacola. So to no avail, I might add.
Yeah, well, and you know, he now owns the Wahoos are the AA team for the Marlins, and the single-A team is the Beloit, Wisconsin team that Quint also owns with Diane Hendricks of ABC Supply up there. So it's kind of funny, in Pensacola, every time he starts to do something else in Wisconsin, I get a couple phone calls or texts like, Quint's not leaving town, is he? And I was like, no, not that I've heard. I think he's here for the long haul. So
you've had a successful run, Mayor, as an entrepreneur. You started with a 43-page business plan and 53 cents in your bank account. You apparently flashed to your first employees to tell them that literally you were all in on this microbrewery that then grew to many locations and one of the more popular microbreweries in the state of Florida. Entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Small business is a big deal for you.
Yeah.
Your involvement with the Entrepreneurial Hub and other things. What words of encouragement do you give small business people or prospective small business people today to move forward and know that they also can be a part of the proverbial American dream?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I have so much respect for entrepreneurs, because when you know you're talking to another entrepreneur, it's like there's just this little like sense of toughness that you know that every one of them have, whether they were successful or they weren't. I mean, even if they had a business that failed, you know, that they have been through the ringer in some form, that it wasn't easy. I just love the entrepreneurial spirit, and 99% of our jobs in the United States are small businesses. Back to Dan's point earlier about, you know, chasing the big white whale. If you took the same amount of dollars sometime in some of these projects, $30, $40, $50, $60 million, and then you placed it in a way that you could grow a 5-employee business to 10 or a 10 to 20, I'd bet you more often than not, you'd see a larger return on investment for a community. So I'm not saying those tactics are unusable, but to me, re-emphasizes the importance of small business and really economic gardening and cultivating the businesses that they're already in your city through thick and thin. I mean, through COVID, through a hurricane, through whatever, they are there and trying to provide as much support as we can. And that's something we're going to do at City Hall. We're starting an economic development office to really focus and prioritize those people that are already here doing business, and how do we get them to the next level.
Economic gardening. Adam, I think we do a whole podcast on that topic. What do you think?
I just wrote that down, Dan.
I know. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So,
Mayor, great to have you with us. Good luck with the League of City meetings and your trip to Washington, and even more so for and with the people of Pensacola. It's a very special place, and it's a metaphor for, I think, cities across America.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's always fun to talk about Pensacola, and I'm so excited for our future. And we got a great team, a great staff at the city. And again, we've got such a great thing to sell in the city of Pensacola. And so I'm excited for these next 4 years. And I appreciate this platform and time to let me talk about this great city.
And thanks for being on Dan McFall's inaugural appearance as a co-host on 13th of
March. I always remember it, you know.
So as will I.
Where were you when, you know, and I was right next to him.
I really liked what I felt from this interview. You have a 38-year-old mayor, already with achievements that many don't have in a lifetime. And he's putting that to work, especially as an entrepreneur. To have an entrepreneur as mayor, as opposed to a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, an entrepreneur, do you think that's maybe a good fit for what America's cities are looking for today?
I really do. I mean, Mayor Reeves is kind of this, you know, maybe this new profile of what we still start seeing cropping up around America, particularly in moderate-sized cities. His enthusiasm, his energy is what really attracts me to his leadership. And I'm excited about that as a native Pensacolian myself. Now, in Pensacola just went to a strong mayor model just in the last decade or so. And Ashton Hayward, the first mayor under that model, Ash was very much a visionary. He was a big picture guy. He was like, hey, let's do this. And why not do this? Let's expand this. Let's bring people into the airport. Let's get, you know, new restaurants and nightlife and all these things happening down there. And then his successor, I should say, Grover Robinson. Grover was the quintessential workhorse. Grover was very much put his head down, did the job at hand, worked hard. Mm-hmm. And he had a tough 4 years. I mean, he didn't sign up for some of the things that happened, hurricanes, going through COVID. He had a really tough tenure as mayor and did a, you know, a thankless job of kind of getting the town through there. And with D.C. Reeves, I think you see kind of the best of both of those. I think you see like the big picture, the big vision. Again, you got a guy that's not afraid to get his hands dirty and do a job for the city. And you can hear his passion. You can hear his love for the city. And I think he's very proud just to be a hometown boy. So,
well, I'll tell you, when you start a business and you look at your bank account and it says 53 cents, right? I don't know about you, Dan. That makes me a little bit nervous, but also is a sign of the kind of confidence you have to have that whatever it is that's in front of you, you're going to figure it out. And having read his story, what really comes out more than anything is that he is a motivator of people. And he believes that when you do that, people will put their best on the line. And I think that's what happened with his microbrewery operation. And I think that's how he's probably going to approach governing the city of Pensacola.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Adam. I think what you have here is a person, is a man who's not afraid to bet on himself. He did that as an entrepreneur. He did that as a journalist. And now I think he's doing that as mayor. And again, I think it's exciting for the city. He's got a very bright future in politics ahead of him if that's what he chooses to continue to do. And I think he's the right man for the moment.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about influences. So obviously, his parents were a great influence. Jim Reeves, his dad, you know, a state legislator, someone who's been in the public eye. I know growing up with a father who was very much involved on the front lines of democracy as a media consultant for senators and governors across the country. And I was that proverbial kid in the back of the room, right, with the Game Boy, absorbing all this. That has to have had an incredible impact on taking someone who's 38 years old and giving him the experience of a lifetime very few have.
I think that's right. I think that you absorb things organically when you're a kid, just by osmosis, just being in the room, as you said, you pick up certain skills. And Jim Reeves, DC's dad, I can't say enough about his influence and the political power that he accumulated over the years. He truly became a kingmaker in the panhandle. Every statewide politician that came through the panhandle had to pop by Jim's office and shake his hand and meet him. And I'm sure DC learned and took some of the best away from that. And I'm sure that's part of how he is today. But, you know, being the chief of staff to Quinn, I think also had and clearly had a deep influence on DC's way about doing things. And I think he's got a very optimistic, bright outlook. And again, I think it's as I said before, the right guy for the job and the right guy for the right time.
And it's very nice to actually have you on set today because of your familiarity, obviously, with the Panhandle and with Pensacola, and even more importantly, with the bright new 38-year-old mayor who's ready to make waves.
I got a shout out to my partner, Justin Safey, for letting me pinch hit today. And it's an honor to be here, Adam. Again, thank you as always, and look forward to seeing you back in D.C. next week.
Don't miss future episodes by following us on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast platforms, or go to the YouTube channel where you can subscribe for free.